inundated. I watched this on the disc. Now, I don't know if the Disney Plus has this option, but I would wager they do, because why not put this bad idea everywhere? This, what do they call it? You can opt in the audio settings for the family language track,
which takes out all the profanity.
Oh, really?
So you can watch the little blue people with your babies.
Whoa. Does it take out their hairy tentacle cocks?
That's the thing. I think we're still tail fucking. So it's like, what is the point?
Oh, wow.
Just so you don't hear Jake Sully go, shit.
I think Spider says fuck at the end.
Spider's got a fuck in this one, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Give me a fucking break.
Maybe there's a setting on my Disney Plus that I should be able to do.
It's like right when you put the disc on, it's like, do you want English? Do you want all these dubs? Do you want for the hearing impaired? Or do you want family language twack?
Did you go end-to-end on that bad boy or what? You watching the commentary?
Everything?
No, I only got it the other day. And it took me, honestly, like, sometimes, you know, watching movies during the day, it's like the fucking doorbell's ringing, the walker's coming or whatever. This 3 hour and 12 minute movie took me like 5.5 hours.
Oh, this is a sundowner, my friend. Yeah, start this with the...
Well, dude, you said it. You texted last night. It was like 7:55 p.m. Steve Sadak text just starting Avatar 2. I was like, my God.
Yeah, we were done at 11:30.
Yeah. I mean, I started at like 1:30 or something, and the sun did set while I was watching it. It's crazy.
And the runtime, to me at least, is a problem. I'm sorry. There's a way to tell. You could trim some of the fat here to make a compelling story.
I agree. I think it's too long. I got fatigued a little. And I like long movies, but I think some of the fat is what I like about this
movie.
Yes,
actually, that's true.
Yes.
I like them having an argument on the beach. Relatable. You know, we all have done it.
Oh, everybody's gotten in a fight on the beach, dude. And definitely.
Did you leave your wallet in the fucking car again?
Just like, oh, it's a lazy Sunday and you're talking to your tycoon friend in the water. And I like those little slices of life. I think it makes the movie.
Because the world. He built a world you want to be in and enjoy. Right. And like, I so many of the people who do movies like this just have no interest in building a world like this. And I'm not saying you have to have money to do this, even though James Cameron clearly a fucking ocean of money came with this fucking thing.
Yeah, that dude's
thing.
All right in the cash department.
But I think there's plenty of movies where you build a world and you don't have to do. Bellflower is a great example of a building a world that's a little weirder than what
that
we have.
That takes me back.
Flashback.
Yeah. Great movie.
2011 or something?
Yeah. That sounds right.
Dude, yeah. Bellflower.
Good movie,
great
though.
Movie. I love that movie.
Wow. I got the soundtrack on vinyl, the Bellflower,
but
if you can believe it.
You can build these worlds, and James just went for the big one. And like, I do love this world. I love what he's doing. I love that he is interested in all the details. What I don't like so much is that a lot of this movie is just kind of redoing parts of the first one with new characters. Sometimes I find that more annoying than others.
Well, it's sort of like George Lucas syndrome. Like he wants to, I did Avatar.
Sure.
Here's how I would do it now if I was doing it now.
Right. That's interesting. Because I think that there's a lot of sequels, sci-fi sequels specifically, they can go in a bunch of different ways. A lot of them, you know, the best of them, it's like, oh, we don't have to explain it anymore. We did that work in the first movie. Here is just now you know what the world is. You know what the conceits are. You know what the rules are. Here's a fucking hard-ass story. Your Empire Strikes Back sees your X2, X-Men United. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
We don't have to do so much legwork doing it. Sometimes it's the other way around where it's like, we did all that stuff, and now I just want to vibe with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what, and that's what this is. That's what the, you know what I mean? I think this is more of a vibey sequel as opposed to like a hard-nosed, excellent story told on
it
Pandaria.
Also, it kind of retells the first movie lot. Like, it's just like, you know how they defeated the sky people? Well, they're back. And remember the guys they killed, those sky people? Well, they're back too.
But they're blue people. I think that's kind
the
of
twist.
The element.
I mean, I do like that notion of like, because it's the same thing in a way, but it's like, it feels that way because it's a revenge story. It's Quaritch's revenge, which is like a worse subtitle.
No,
thank you. If it was a canon film, then you go
there. Yeah. But I think the other thing too, Steve, it's interesting, right? Because you're talking about like setting up the rules and everything. One of the things that, and now with this Fire and Ash reveal, like when I saw the teaser, I was like, okay, this is definitely the case. These movies are Mario maps.
Yes, they really are.
And so the issue I think with like the 3:12 runtime, part of that is because like, yes, the world is established, but now there's all these water rules that we have to explain to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, it's a combo of, we do have the vibe and we can live here because we know what's going on in this world of Pandora, But also, it's we're on the water level now, so we got to tell you about these water level creatures and these. You know, when you go down to the water level, your little pie chart is going to start going. You run out of breath, and you know.
I appreciate that there are different terrains here. Yes. You know, so much in sci-fi, it's just like, well, that's the jungle planet.
Yes.
That's the forest planet. This is the water planet. No. A planet has more than one thing.
I just went to watch Interstellar, and I had that is that movie to a T, and I'm just like, did you, like, go anywhere outside the... Like, no, this whole... It's mountain world.
They don't have that time, Steven. There's no time.
I need to go back to that. How does that hold up?
It's really good. It's
really, really good movie.
I love it.
But, yeah, no, exactly. I think that, like, the... I think this movie actually really starts to get into high gear once they fucking get up and go. You know what I mean? Like, once they get into Navi witness protection and they have to eat their... Egg noodles and ketchup like a schnook, you know what I mean?
Once they get to the water.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely true. I think, I mean, sadly, not that sad. I mean, the reason I think he did this and put so much time into the beginning and, like, here's dad stuff. Like, I had another kid, and, you know, and
dude,
we went to Disneyland.
These Na'vi fucking like the Irish, dude. Yes. My God in heaven, they got, like, five kids, well, four kids.
They're being fucking wiped out. I would be doing it, too. Like, come on, fucking get them out.
And they're adopting fucking mutants and whatever else.
The movie should be about Jake Scully introducing the idea of a prophylactic for that thing. That here's some plastic I invented to put over your hairy tail.
Yeah, just get some sandwich wrap around that shit.
It's like, we could fucking have all the fun without the fucking Tree of Life spooting out anymore.
Well, that's the thing. The Tree of Life, you're connected to always. It would fucking cause a seizure in your brain and kill you. If you're like, hey, we can stop fucking.
It's like I'm trying to trick God.
Yes. Yeah. I'll let that
Which
man
is what
cook.
Condoms are doing. They're tricking God.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be doing them, kids. Throw your condoms out.
I mean, there's a lot of ways people trick God, right? Like, it's just like, oh, you know, it's the it's Sabbath or whatever. Can you come over and turn my lights on for me? That's another trick.
That's a trick.
I figured it out, by the way. Don't try that again.
Speaking of God and the Sabbath, we do, of course, have to have some Christ-esque mystery in big movies like this. And this is... we mentioned in the first movie, Sigourney's character is killed. They have been preserving her avatar, and somehow the avatar got pregnant, and we have this Kiri, which is Sigourney Weaver doing mocap acting as a teenager. I do like her, like, the performance here, where she's got to play, like,
it's
younger.
Good.
It's very, very believable, and they don't modify the voice to a distractingly eerie degree.
Yeah.
Like, if you just heard Sigourney Weaver, like, famously smoky, throaty kind of voice.
Yeah.
If it was just kind of high pitched doing a kid thing, that would be so unsettling, right?
It'd be gross.
No, but it's usually unsettling. You know, your movie, oh God, is it Clifford?
The big red dog? Or
no,
the
Martin Short.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to be doing Clifford.
I love
but
Clifford.
But she's not, because Clifford is disturbing because Martin Short running around as a child.
Right.
I think it's not disturbing. Like, she actually gets to the soul of this character, which is actually a benefit to her. You know, she's got to be in her late 60s,
I
imagine.
Oh, yeah. Definitely more memorable than the other kids.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the brothers...
Well, lose one, and I'm just like, oh, I didn't even notice. Good.
Because the brothers do overlap each other way too much, and I'm like, which one is which, and why is who?
Well, I think that's to have this tragedy at the end to really gun up, and like, Jake Sully is now going to really kill Quaritch. Maybe not.
Neytiri is not so bad. We got a spare. Don't worry, Neytiri.
Neytiri, don't worry about it. Turns out, wrong kid died.
Well, yeah.
So now I got to be mean to this one.
Wait, which one was I mean to and which one did I like? Could you remind me?
That's why you need at least one fat one. You know what I mean? Like, give me like a fat Na'vi.
That'd be,
you know,
awesome,
what I mean?
Jub-Jub.
Yeah, Jub-Jub. And it's like, they're water people, but he's not much of a swimmer. He's more of a lounger. So he's just like eating on a float.
You'd rather be
out
back home eating all the purple bananas.
Finally,
the fuck they eat.
Finally, the planet gets its first like processed food place because they've been eating like perfectly. Yeah. That's why they're so svelte, is that they don't have fucking McDonald's. Fucking they don't even have a fucking grocery store.
This is how, and this is like the consumer imperialism.
Yes.
How to take over something. The sky people should just come back and open up, like, give like grocery stores, have Kraft mac and cheese for sale.
Yeah.
And you will destroy this.
Jake Sully, have you had Pizza Hut? It's delicious.
Exactly.
Well, my old parents Jason's had Pizza Hut, but I'd never had Pizza Hut in the blue body before, so let's get munching.
I told you kids to avoid the Noid.
Oh, not a meat lovers. Oh, no, the meat lovers followed me here.
You're grounded for a month. No hunting for a month because you didn't avoid the Noid.
It's Edie Falco. Deploy the Noid.
Oh, yes.
Get them out there.
The kids are Nitiam is the oldest. Loak is the broody.
Loak's like the main dude.
Yes. And Loak, you know for a fact, you know the other guy is going to die. As soon as Loak makes friends with the whale and starts talking to the girl, you're like, oh, that kid's gone. Yeah. That kid is fucking gone.
I was like, why isn't this older brother finding young love?
Took is the youngest daughter.
Yes.
We got a little bit. I think it's not as bad as our last Gleep glossary entry with that guy that I can't. I won't even pretend to say his name. But some of these names, Chevon La. Yes.
Yeah.
Some of these names get a little bit out there in terms of the phonetics, where I'm like, I can't. I kept thinking new Sigourney Weaver's character is Kiri, but they say like Kiri. I thought her name was Kitty. Like Kitty is in like, you know, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sounds like Kitty sometimes. Sounds like Katie sometimes. Yes. It's hard to,
parse.
I do love Neytiri here. So yes, the first like 25 minutes of this movie is Jake Sully being like, since the last time you saw us, and he's sort of explaining everything.
Oh God, the Little League practices. You wouldn't fucking believe it. And you know, it's not just a Little League. You have to get them bubble gum. You have to give them a little icy. You got to get them. It's $50 every time I'm going to this place.
That would be great if this beginning is like this monologue, as he's telling about stories, and this is the songs and the stories. But if it was just like Jake Sully going to whatever bar, Avatar bar there is on Pandora, like, meeting up with another dad buddy, yep, and he's just like, so we had the first kid, right? The first one was fine, and then, like, we got the other one, and then Kiri was around, so we just kind of adopted her anyway. And then
not really sure where she came from, kind of weird, still looking into it.
Let me ask you something, though. Do you want to have my job? I can't be the leader anymore. I got to go into witness protection. Could you take it over for me? I know it's a big ask. I know.
Then the big thing, though, is he's like, but also, there's this human kid that got orphaned here, and we just sort of started taking care of him. And you see Neytiri, like, not having it. Awesome. She's like, this little rat fucker. Like, I don't want him in my hut. I don't want him near my kids. I don't want him near me.
Describe him like a stray cat. Yes. Spider, yeah. Which is a good descriptor.
And this is an interesting thing that he tells us is, Jake Sully tells us, after the events of the first movie, they kicked all the human beings off the planet, which is really awesome.
You see that trail of tears happen.
Yes.
Those poor men going back to
dude, Earth. It's awesome. I love just all these fucking huge Na'vi with machine guns. Like, that's right, bitch. Get the fuck off my planet. It's so awesome.
Just watching the line like, yep. Come on, let's go.
But of course, we left the science guys behind because they've always been kind of like pro-Navi the whole time anyway. So you got Joel David Moore, who I like as this Norm character, but he's barely in this movie.
I don't know what they're doing there. You know what I mean? Like, what?
Dude, they're still working on science. There's more science to be done.
Why would you leave the Earth behind and everything you know? It's obviously because they have some sexual fetish for these things, right?
I mean, it's either that or you're doing like a Jane Goodall thing and you're writing this great book.
That could be.
But and then just do... I need just that much to give me any purpose for him and the other guy, Dilip Rao, I think his name is.
Yeah, the dude from, he's in Inception, I think.
He's the guy in
Inception that I think they like kidnap or whatever.
Yeah. And
the doctor.
It's kind of funny that he's in this movie. He's a very good actor, but he kind of went away. And it just sort of tells you this is the sequel. Like, back in 2009, that guy was in movies. Back in 2022, it's like, that guy's back.
Well, maybe he's been there the whole time.
It's true.
Well, it's Joel David Moore as well. I mean, it's a fucking hatchet. Was the last time I mentioned him.
James Cameron accidentally locked the doors on the set and left, and they were just there until now.
Oh, I guess he's doing a lock-in, guys. Let's go. Let's have fun here. Let's have fun doing this.
Dilip Rao is also really good in Drag Me to Hell.
I don't even remember him being in that movie. Yeah, I saw that movie one time.
He's the fortune teller?
Yes, yeah.
At least Norm like has an avatar. Yeah. Dilip Rao's character, he's just a dude. He's always been a dude. He never had an avatar in the first movie. So like, that's got to suck. I'd be like, listen, if we're going to hang out, Can we figure out a way for me to have a fucking Na'vi body if I gotta be here?
He just wants to get plowed by the big blue guys. Yeah, you know what I mean?
True. Like, sure.
His fetish doesn't involve having a, you know, an asshole the size of a Na'vi. It's gotta be human sized.
I get it. But like then you got, and you gotta wear a mask like fucking Blue Velvet while you're getting stuck.
Oh, dude, a release machine on this planet.
We called it Tenet sex.
Because the mask is a problem for me. Like, why we're like, because even Edie Falco, when she shows up, I'm like, that's it, Earth is over, we're coming here now. And I'm like, but no one can breathe. Is anyone solving that issue? Like, and Spider's like, it's so fun to be in the Na'vi. I'm like, it's got to be so annoying to wear this mask all the time. You can't drink, well, you can't eat.
Guess what?
Well, that's how bad Earth is, yeah. I think that's what we're going to get to right. in this movie is Earth is a fuck. Not eat. Wall-E was a very optimistic view of where we're going. And here
that
we're going to
see. That's an
interesting
point. We haven't seen like the status of Earth.
I think it's bad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, tropical paradise planet. You got to have a mask on when you're outside. Yeah, I kind of can get how annoying.
It's infringing on my freedom.
But if Earth has become like, you know, Vader's fucking Mustafar planet. Like, it seems like it's a cool trade-off.
Fair point.
If you liked what you just heard and you want to get the rest of this episode, head on over to patreon.com/wehatemovies, where not only can you instantly unlock the rest of this fine program, you also get yourself access to hours upon hours of exclusive shows and commentaries you cannot get anywhere else. That's patreon.com/wehatemovies.